Friends, I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. I'd like to start with the first verse there. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I will be thinking about the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our subject this morning is how Satan deceives many. How Satan deceives many. And this is a very amazing narrative in the Bible, because it shows us something more about the Lord Jesus Christ as well as about the devil himself also. This is one of the texts in the Bible that makes it very clear that there's such an enemy called Satan. If you live your life as if these things are not real, you think we talk about Satan only and that he is not real, well, it is such a great mistake. The Bible shows us he's there, he's the arch enemy of our souls, and he seeks to deceive. Especially after the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, his only, most strongest, potent weapon is his lies. All other weapons are truly, relatively, depend on this one, because he must lie to us first before he succeeds with some anything else. The person he didn't come up a crown of paper said Satan or Dada Bibrinoa. The castle said, why do you not say Satan you're born in your car dear? And it's why I'm from Kasia Pai son said scripture catches or Wampa na or Yenijuma. Nejuma or Yeno na who didn't kesina age na in Dada so a son said. So his lies are the most potent and the most often the most difficult to deal with, because he knows how to tailor them according to our makeup, you see. When he said it, or down that in that down, said the bear, a better said the meeting, said the meeting, ever. The man here, they say, to me, and we know. But this thing about the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, why did he expose himself to this temptation of Satan? You see how the text reads, look at verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So this was purposeful. It was intended that it should happen. The Spirit himself led the Lord Jesus Christ into the wilderness so Satan would tempt him. So it was entirely purposeful. It was done surely to make the Lord Jesus Christ's glory be seen, but also for our benefit, so that we will see how Satan will attack. As the Lord Jesus Christ seems to have availed himself to the assault of Satan, so that we might read through that how exactly he would deal with us too. So that even in this, the Lord Jesus Christ is our sympathetic Savior. He exposes himself so we may see the tricks of Satan, because he will use the same tricks again and again and again. Satan and son of she said your baby to me who said your Satan a choir buffer so adada yingina. A son says Satan will repeat his side bio. And more we feel that he never changes his strategy, he only adapts them every time according to whom he's dealing with. He's a very clever fiend. The Bible teaches us. Oh yeah, Nichimu Ede and Niniati was Ijumanumu and so. So we want to look at these three temptations of the Lord. One of the helpful things is that it is the responses of the Lord that show us clearly what the intentions of Satan is. If you read the temptations alone, you may appreciate only a measure of the intentions of Satan. It was when the Lord responded to him that we see what his intentions were, so we may draw the lessons and then draw the warnings also. Said the Radio Secret, you know, I know a fire, you know, and you know, my you know, the name was Satan, I dream with your person or your bra or so, a Radio Secret of here, you know, said their baby to me at tears. Let's start with the first one there. And so, verse 1 and 2 together. Then was Jesus led up by of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself was in the wilderness. He had been there fasting to prepare himself for the work. He has a great work ahead of him, and the Lord himself will prepare for that with much prayer and fasting. And you see, as I mentioned, Satan would prepare a temptation very suitable to the circumstances of the Lord. Never forget that. I will say something very soon about that. We often forget the verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be turned, be made bread." Why tempt the Lord about bread? Because he is hungry. Why tempt him about food? Because he is hungry. Please don't forget this. And because of the false teaching around, people always forget that. Satan doesn't care. He doesn't care whether you will be rich or poor. He doesn't care whether you be educated or uneducated. He doesn't care whether you will marry or not marry. As if you think that Satan's biggest strategy is that he doesn't want me to marry and things like that, you are so mistaken. What all he wants to do is to say, "I don't care what happens to this person, I want to take advantage of it. If I have money, he would take advantage. If I don't have money, he would take advantage. If I'm married, he would take advantage of. If I'm not married, he would take advantage of. If I have children, he would take advantage. If I didn't have children, he would take advantage of that." Turn yourself wherever you want to go, and he takes advantage. So you think only one situation will let put him off? Well, you're mistaken. And so the Apostle Paul tells us that we are not ignorant of his devices. And he told the church in Corinth that we should be careful Satan does not take advantage of us. And that was I'm not going to go into that, because one situation has changed and the church didn't know that because the situation had changed, he must also respond to it differently. And he said, hey, be careful, the devil will even take advantage of this new situation. So dear friends, he doesn't care. If you are hungry, he will come with a different temptation. Have abundance of food, he will come with another. You must be aware of this, my dear friend. Said you would tibia tibia or bombarding so befa said you bay and sabak. Now, so what are his intentions? And the Lord Jesus Christ makes him expose that to us. What are his intentions? DNA one dream. So take your advantage in a dear crown or pesoye. What does he want to do? And the Lord Jesus Christ makes him expose himself. So watch it there. The temptation seems very reasonable. Isn't the Lord hungry? Has he not fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? And so if he's hungry, he's come to the end. It's not within the fast. The Bible says it's afterward. Verse 2 tells us. So the Lord is finished with the fasting. If Satan had come whilst he was fasting and said, "Stop and eat," that would have been clear, isn't it? And that would have been obviously unreasonable. The Lord is done with the fasting. And so the next thing would have been, go for food. And the devil himself comes and says, "Okay, you fasted, you are okay, you done praying, well done, you are hungry. Now, get something to eat. And I'm going to make a suggestion," says Satan. "Turn these stones into bread for yourself." Is that unreasonable? You are hungry. And bear in mind, he's in a wilderness. If he's in town, he would have said, no, I'm going to get food there. He's in the wilderness. There's no food in the wilderness. So for Satan to say 10 stones into bread, very reasonable. Does the Lord have the power to do that? Yes, he had the power to do that. So you see how he's pieced together every part of that to seem very suitable for the Lord's situation. Oh, my dear friends, this is why we tell people again and again, if you wouldn't listen to the Bible alone, there's no way you will know Satan's scheme. You say, I want to listen to a mommy who is gone to under the seas and come. This is foolish. No one will know anything about Satan except what the Lord tells us in his word. Only the Lord shows us what he does, what his intentions are. If you wouldn't listen to scripture, nothing else will save you and I. One person which is said is scripture kachemfa as Satan one she aim to me and the end. It says we are aiming na quite a jig yang kuponwa or born. She said, "Radi wa ya fasting 40 days, 40 nights." They come then. It is a Satan bano kase on the on page and India wa phone. Baby Radi Sikhs also our Sarasso, a dianiniho. Into the Satan Bano Casa Dambobana and Dampan, who said, a tokaimu. A face a radius, a crystal, what to me or to me, I sir. Into so be some patrol for we took me a crown, what your fat dame pan, we mobile and Dampanuma. Who was in us to see any? And it is the Lord's response that makes us see what Satan wanted to achieve. And so look at the Lord's response. Verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Quoting him, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Nimpa enam edianum kwa so not na se emom onam nyankopon asembia okaso not na se. And so what was the devil's intention? What is the Lord saying? The Lord is saying this. Now, it is true that I need food. It is true that at this moment it is suitable to get some food. But don't create the impression that the important thing I need is food. It's not the primary thing. It is not the most important thing. There's something superior to that. There's something far better than that. And that's the word of God. You see, and so the Lord Jesus Christ was touching, Satan was touching on the priority. And I will apply that very soon. What will be the priority on the Lord's mind? What is the most important thing for him? Food? Basic, legitimate, proper to have. Yet, it is not the number one need, says the Lord. The number one need is the word of God. Die nye, kese kese, enye dianimpo, die nye eye, yet ni meki provisions me yonwa eye, and say enye enene dia, enye kese. We don't often think this way, my dear friends. And so this is very helpful. The Bible says that, of course, again and again. You know, my dear friends, there are people that make practical needs in life the excuse why they do not seek the Lord. Some people say, there was a time, I and the two elders, I think there was one other brother with us, we were on the street, and we met two gentlemen. And one of our numbers said that, okay, we are checked us at the corner, and we are here giving some invitations to the services. Would you come? And then the young man said, yes, we would like to come, but you know, sir, we are hungry. And then one of our number, kindly enough, gave them some little money, each one a little, and they said, would you come? Yes, let us say, thank you, we are coming. Ask me whether they came or not. And people do that. People say, you know, things are hard. Ghana is hard. How can I go to church? How can I go to church when I'm not eating? Dear friend, that is true. It is true you are hungry. It is true you need food. But the Lord insists that's not your number one need. If you don't grasp that, you would never come to Him. Remember John chapter 6, there were these persons that had followed the Lord. And the Lord is giving them food. And they wanted to get the second time. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ told them, John chapter 6? Labor not for the food that perishes, but for the food that lives eternal life. Dear friend, primary to you, if you truly come to the Lord, it is true to make that provision is good enough. But to make it an excuse to say, because I'm hungry, because I'm not having these material provisions, I am forgetting God. Will really mean these things are far more important than Almighty God Himself. Do you know that? Poverty is not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is rebellion against God. Don't make that mistake. Your biggest problem is not joblessness. To get a job is good, to make you feed your family. But to think that that's my number one food, if you dare to Satan's ploy, he's got to you. That's exactly how he wants you to think. So that something else will come first in your mind. And as long as that thing is first in your mind, you will never seek the Lord sincerely. You will never come to him
We only seek the Lord when we have come to a point where, even in the face of real, daily, practical need, I tell myself, though I have these things here, yet I realize it is the Lord Himself I need above all. I wish that we were in a kind of a Bible study. It's easy to prove this from a number of texts in the Bible. Yerade Yesu Kristo kani se eye se nimpa benye na sitina mu enhia di asrotu. So be person nye onfumi ye. But so na jin sha se ye ne se. And then me here one ansana ebia na mafa nyankopo ni bremu wa fum kese kese Satan sakan or dwin wo kwan a ono ankasa ebesi ne ho kwan so be radio ho. Therefore, the only time you sincerely begin to seek the Lord, when you come to see everything else as non-important, even though there may be pinching needs, and yet you say, yes, I know, I'm hungry, yes, but I need the Lord more. This seems difficult, isn't it? It seems difficult, and that is why, that is the reason why. Before you come to the Lord, you see your need and you cry to the Lord. And the Lord Himself says, I am the one who will work in your heart. My dear friends, I wish I can stay with the first one. Because I'm dealing with three temptations, I must go on. But that's the pivotal, that's a very important thing. You know, friends, do you know the requirement of the first commandment? The Ten Commandments that God gave, the first commandment. You know the requirement of that? In the Sunday school class, we have children here, we bring them here in the afternoons. And when we are teaching the first commandment, one of the pictures is a very beautiful, very practical application. When we are teaching the first commandment, one of the pictures we put on the board as a visual aid, you know, the question is, it asks, what comes first in your heart, in your life? What is number one in your life? If it is not the Lord, I am not seeking Him. I want something else by His aid. And that's idolatry. Dear friends, are you a Christian this morning? If you are not, and sometimes I find people that seem to have all kinds of hindrances, things standing in the way of they coming to know the Lord. And you want to speak to them. And many times this is the problem. It is not the Lord they really want chiefly. Dear friend, this is Almighty God, the God above all. Is there anything you would desire more than Him? Then why do you pretend to come to Him? Because by pretending to come to Him, what you're actually doing is to think that He must be your servant. I really want something else in this life, and only He can assist me to get that thing. God insists in the Bible, I must be the first and the last, don't you know? I must have the preeminence, the first place, the supreme place, the number one place. And it is one of the things that shows whether you are genuinely converted or not. What comes first? A day may be kind. The son said, Radhi Yesu Christo, baby, a fatano, and it's a first place. I have to go on, otherwise I'll say too much. Now, so the first has to do with priority. What comes first? It is not wrong to make provision. It is not wrong to get food. It is not wrong to get a job. But anything at all to make them my prior aim is to say, I do not need God. Even if you say with your lips, oh, I need God. It's not true. The prior aim is the Lord, that I may know Him, that I may find Him, that I may walk with Him. It is that thing we teach the children. I'm sorry, I'm going back, isn't it? That thing we teach the children. The greatest purpose of a man's life is that he may know God and walk with Him. So he goes to the second. Now the devil is clever. Watch it again. The Lord Jesus quoted scripture, Deuteronomy 8:3, and the devil says, ah, this man likes Bible, eh? I'm also going to quote the Bible. As he come to verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. We do not know how he achieved this. Certainly the Lord cooperated. Remember, the Lord was yielding to the temptation purposefully. And so he would have followed him. And what time was it so that nobody saw them? These things are really not practical, not immaterial to know. What is important is that they got themselves on the pinnacle of the temple, the topmost part of the temple. This is where they were standing. I saw them so far. You didn't say you're more coy. You say rather than say it's a Satan's son, and more one cousin, a Jim or Benny and Cassassi and Faso. It's not a penny side Satan was son washing. Inti sebia Satan, dinechi na na or crow. You didn't say the air, but only in Nina. I sorry, there no soul. And then verse 6. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, this is Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So he's telling him, now here you are, prove that you are the Son of God. Then let me remind you, you have a promise to cover you. There's a promise in the Bible, Psalm 91, that even if you did, even if you threw yourself down, you wouldn't be hurt at all, because even your foot cannot hit a stone. And so go ahead, try it, do it. I say, unto whom that you from, ne atwe se ne nan kon from bobo de te so ka chere se woni mo won kra no bo she bebre wo ho bobo wo ban dada nti ensro wo de to ho a e be te fo mu. And then the Lord quotes him a passage of scripture. Again, make us see his intention. Verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, and this is Deuteronomy chapter 6. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So what the devil wanted to do was to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to tempt God? I'm giving you an example in the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, I'm not turning to that for the sake of time. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, the people of Israel were living in sin. And it could be seen in how even their priests themselves were going into extremes in sin. And one time they went to war with the Philistines. And when they went to that war, first time they met the Philistines in a place called Aphek. And when they were there, they went to that war, the Philistines beat them. And after the Philistines beat them, they came back to their tents, and their elders said, we now know why we were beaten. We didn't go with the ark. So let's go and take the ark and take it with us into the battle. And surely we will have victories. And you know, when they took it to their own center, they took it from the tabernacle. At that time the temple had not been erected. So it was in Shiloh, a place called Shiloh. They took the tabernacle, I beg your pardon, the ark there, from there, and brought it into the camp of the Israelites. And come and see, it was like the shout of the charismatics. Everybody shouted. In fact, they shouted better than they. It is said they shouted until the earth itself rang again. I want to point that verse. I'm sorry, I'm going out of the way now. I really wish to tell this charismatic, you think shouts do anything? Read 1 Samuel chapter 4. If you wouldn't be obedient to the Lord, you, after you are done shouting, then the devil comes to have his way. You can't fool the devil with a shout. Oh dear, oh dear. If people would know who really Satan is. Anyway. And so they had a shout. And then they were going to the warfare with confidence. In fact, they shouted at the Philistines. They shouted at the Philistines and said, what is happening? And somebody said, you know, the people of Israel have the ark in their midst now. That wonderful ark. And the Philistines said, oh, then we are dead. We are dead. What shall we do? These people will conquer us. And then they mustered courage and said, come on. Come on. Man up. We will face them still. Ark or no ark. We'll go and face them. And they went and faced the Israelites, and they beat them again. They beat the Israelites and got the ark away from them, took it to their own idol. Anyway, what happened is another story. But they took it away from them. Is it how you tempt the Lord? You ignore what God has said, and you do things in the form of what He said, and expect Him to bless it. You don't care about what He said. You don't mind what He said. You say, but I go to church, I do this, so God must hear me and bless me. You can't cheat Almighty God. You can't browbeat Him. He sees through everything. Oh, Lord, you know, I'm a preacher, and I've been preaching for years. So by all means, you must see that I'm a wonderful person, receive me. Oh, but if I will not trust in the Savior, and I will not really desire to honor Him, God sees through it. You can't fool Him. In fact, it is tempting to merely try and put up the form and say, cry to Him to bless it, when He has said, when He hasn't said that's what you should be doing. So the Nyankopon and Kase Minya Miami Kofa. Na if it means Sugun Yankopon say Radi Mayintis Shrami Shrami. Bible said it's a Misson Yankopon Ashu. He's promised to bless, He's promised to bless His people, He's promised to bless what we do. But if I'm not doing it as He wants me to do it, I forfeit blessing. I cannot expect His blessing. In fact, my attempt to ask Him for blessing is like tempting Him. As if I'm saying, look at your promise, keep it, like Satan is doing. Meanwhile, He hasn't told me this is how I should apply the blessing. There are other conditions to be kept, and I'm ignoring that. Sorry. Iradaka says, Minya say, I'm a washen within a bush, and be your person, me answer, and some person, me, you know. Let me be standing say, oh, you sure, sister. It is said, in Crawford, be brain, ne, be tibian or cup promises, astral, and be brain, Iradaka may a trimming idea. You know that promise, huh? And yet He doesn't care about the conditions there. This is to tempt God. And so, dear friend, you know how you do that if you, there are people who do the same thing. Dear friends, the second temptation challenges our hearts. Am I really coming to the Lord? What are my motives? Am I really coming to the Lord according to His own way? Or have I devised my own ways and expect Him to still bless me? Me ben Yankopon said on a semimra, and as a mere and a mass shame choir hodo, and I'm semi person Yankopon isha so. The Lord Jesus Christ knew and said, no, I cannot tempt Him. My Father didn't mean that I can go and stand anywhere and throw myself merely for show, and then I'll be protected. When I am on the way of duty, and when I'm in real danger, and I'm in danger of really getting hurt, I can throw myself upon that promise and I'll be kept. When I'm on the way of duty, not when I merely want to show off. If I can give another example, you know why some people are always praying that God should give them something? It may be because of a show off, that I may show it off. So that when my mates that I finish school with meet me, they can say, ooh, is that John? Show off. And I want God to be a signatory to that. It's a great sin. It's a great disregard for Him. You want to reduce God to be one who fulfills my whims, my tastes. This is very foolish. It is a great crime. It is a tempting. But the thing I'm going to say, I'm going to say, And so, my dear friend, what's the counsel if I really want to come to the Lord? Oh, my dear friend, listen to what he said. Have you truly repented of sin? Have you truly told him what you've done? Are you hiding something? Lord, save me. I want to become a Christian. And I'm aware of the sin. I'm not saying you can stop all the sins, that you can turn away from them. What the circumstances that bring them about, you can turn away from them to show how earnest you are to come away from the sin. But you cannot stop the heart sins. If there's pride in my heart, if there's lust burning in my heart, if temper and envy and jealousy are in my heart, how can I plug them out? You can't. And so what you do is to be sincere and lay it before the Lord. Mean it. Don't try to hide it. God will see it. Almighty God will know it all. And he will withhold his blessing. He knows you can't stop them, but he knows you can tell him. You can genuinely lay it at his feet with grief and shame and longing to be delivered. We meet with the Atuna Nayas and say, Sabonina, Wom Peso Koswom, Ne Titi, No Peso Jufrim. That one, if you truly mean it, you can. And he promises to bless. Dear friend, the second temptation tells us, when you're dealing with Almighty God, come utterly sincerely. Come entirely genuinely. Otherwise, he who knows all things will not listen to you, nor bless you. Dear friends, are you unsaved? Could that be a reason? Have you tried to hide away something? And sometimes, let me tell you some of the sins that we hide easily. The sin of pride. The desire to rule my own heart. And to feel like a little boss in my own heart. And you want to come to the Lord? Tell him. Tell him that this is your trouble. And he will have mercy if you are sincere. Please, you cannot cheat him. Because he knows all things. Let me add a last one because of the time. Now Satan gets even more audacious. Verse 8. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. How he did that? Of course, Satan, being a fallen angel, permitted by God, can bring a number of things to the mind, the mind's eye. And so somehow, he made the Lord, again, remember the Lord was cooperating for our purpose. Ready? Now, our man who quenches Satan, by his amen, and faso. So all these things were brought to him, verse 9, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou would fall down and worship me. Of course, there's a bit of a lie there. He would pretend to give it, but it will not be the real one. You see, these are scammers around. They give you the fake ones. So he cannot really give that. The word is not his to give. This tells you he promises more than he can ever deliver. He can't. Satan promised their own to me, Emma. And he said, fall down. Look at how audacious. Verse 9. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou will fall down and worship me. But Satan could require this of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very bold, wicked creature to require the Lord Jesus Christ to bow to him and worship him. But friends, if he did that to the Lord, he would do that to you and I. He was standing right before the Lord. I'm telling him, bow to me and worship me.
Certainly, Satan, now, listen to how he puts it. It's very important because the Bible tells us that this is often, if not more often, how he does it. Verse 9. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me, full stop. Now, look at how the Lord responded. And there's a little word there that is very powerful. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, this is at Deuteronomy chapter 10, and verse 20, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him, listen to that, only shalt thou serve. Satan knew that he was dealing with the Lord. Satan knew that he was dealing with a Jew. There was no way even an ordinary Jew will worship any other than God. But he can get the Jew to worship God and something else. He cannot get him to entirely turn his back on God, but he can get him to divide his heart. Give part to God, give part to something else. And Satan is very clever at that. Satan himself, And he does this always, and he succeeds so well. When the people of Israel, when the Assyrians took away the people of Israel from the promised land, they took them away to elsewhere, and they brought people of another nation to the land of the people of Israel, toward the north. And the Bible says this, that the people that came, they worshipped God and served their own idols. Can you believe that? They worshipped God and served their own idols. We are very capable of slicing up our hearts. We all, especially if you are a churchgoer, if you've been raised in a Sunday school, if your parents are Christians, you know you cannot turn your back from Almighty God. That's out of question, and Satan knows it. Satan wouldn't require you to entirely turn your back on God. He comes with an appeal. Let's share it. Let's share it. You know why? He knows that when that heart is shared, God rejects it. God wouldn't take half. He wouldn't take 99.9%. He wouldn't. He must take all. And Satan, see what he knows? If that heart is even a little given to something else, God must reject it. Sakumani, I didn't fuck a crime maybe before fraud. As I say, young popon epo. Satan is that. And so, oh friends, but you know, Satan uses this kind of strategy in the Bible, in the book of Numbers. It begins in chapter 22, and it goes all the way into chapter 26. This problem, I'm going to summarize what happened there. There was a man that was hired, he's called Balaam. He was hired to come and curse the people of Israel. When he came, the Lord so overshadowed him and warned him that he could not curse Israel. And so he attempted several times. In fact, even they promised him big money and big honors to go and curse Israel. And all that he found himself doing was to bless Israel. And when those people wanted to pay him, complained, he said, you know, I can't do otherwise. All that I am, as it were, forced to do is to bless Israel. And so when he could not do it, he could not curse Israel. You know what he did next? Like Satan always, he said, God is holy. If I can make these people sin against God, even though I could not curse them, God himself will punish them. And so he told the people, the king who was offering him money, and said that, let your girls go and marry them. Go and mix up and marry them. And they did. And God killed over 24,000 of Israelites.
What Balaam could not do by his curse, sin did. And so you see, when Satan come and get you to be an out and out idolater, he appeals to you to only give God half of your heart. He knows that is the same as unconversion. That is the same as a hell-bound person. Give him half. Don't be whole. Be half-hearted. And Satan knows what it means. That means zero before the Lord. That means nothing. He knows it. And so that's what he's doing to the Lord. So that the Lord will give his father only a half worship, because he wants to worship Satan also. My dear friends, this is the last part of the temptation. Please, have you given your heart to this world so that you do not really yield your whole heart to the Lord? So that you don't entirely rest your hopes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You not find it in Him all you really needed. You not find it in Him, the Savior who would save you from sin. You don't find in Him such a blessing for the soul that you say, this is all I needed. Is your heart divided? So that you wish, yes, I can go to church, I can be involved in church things, I can even become somebody bearing responsibility in church, and I can do all these religious things. But my heart will still be a divided one. I am not resting all my hopes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in Him. I say that I know that He died on the cross of Calvary. Oh, but at the same time, I have this confidence in myself, and I have confidence in this world, and I have confidence in my own ideas, and I have my own plans and ambitions which I must pursue. And I do not think I must yield them all to the Lord and bow the knee to Him so that He rules my heart entirely. Is that your case? Dear friend, the fearful thing is that Satan will bring along a kind of a false conversion, and you will never be a genuine Christian. Let me tell you, the kind of person such ones become, they still go to church, they still get involved very much in church things, but they truly deeply do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hopes are not built upon Him. They do not look only upon what He did for sinners. And their hearts are not moved and melted so that they feel a debt towards the Savior and feel and realize what a prime place He deserves in their hearts. My dear friends, can I warn you? This is Satan's strategy. If he cannot turn you out to be an out-and-out anti-church, anti-Christianity, he can let you soon walk around among Christians, but your heart is divided. You really cannot bow the knee to the Savior. You cannot trust Him wholly. Look to Him entirely. Depend upon Him entirely. You talk about Him, and you trust in something else as well. Your hopes are built upon something else as well. This is, dear friends, this is most terrible. Friends, I have to begin to close. You know, I must mention this to you. In the history of the world, wherever Christians have been killed, those who have done so, one of those that have done it very much have been people who call themselves Christians. You know that? These persons, well, when people want to blame, they said, Christianity encouraged slavery. Haven't you said that? In the history books, they say it. Having been to a museum, if you come to Cape Coast Castle, and they are taking you to the various places, the dungeons, where they put the slaves. Have you been there? When you go to the dungeons, in one of the dungeons, you find one of them, I don't know whether I'm getting it right. Yes, I think that in the dungeon where they kept the ladies, the females. And the tour guide, the museum guide, really loves to say this kind of thing. He would take you to this dungeon and say, that, you see what they did here? Look, all that they did to the women, they would point you to, you know, look at that. That was the governor's office. He would look into a window and would tell somebody, get me that woman. And then he would abuse them. And the next thing he would say, but on top here, you know what is there? A church. So while the women were tortured down here, there was a church going on here. You know the message, isn't it? And one of the things nobody tells them, nobody writes that in their secular history books, is that these persons who treated these slaves this way treated the genuine Christians the same way. When the genuine Christians went into the same places preaching the gospel, they said, you are opposed to our purposes. They did that in Jamaica. They did that in all these Caribbean islands. Because the genuine Christians were coming, proclaiming Christ, lifting up the lives of the people. And they said, hey, if we let you succeed, these persons won't serve us anymore. So they attacked them. They don't know. People don't know. Why am I telling you this, dear friend? Unless you really seek to be a kind of a genuine Christian whose heart is all for the Lord, strangely, you will bear in your heart a deep dislike for God's ways. You won't like it. There'll be some things God says in the Bible you would never like. Because you want to go your own way. You want to be your own boss. You don't want to submit to that. It will make you uncomfortable. It will let you achieve some kind of ambition of your own. And you will hate it. It's natural. That's what you will become. It's natural. Only when you come to truly love the Lord and all His ways is when the heart is entirely for Him. You have truly come to throw away every confidence, and your entire hopes are built on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for needy sinners. You come to the cross and seen His dying love, all you needed. You seen His dying love, not only forgiveness of sins, but also reconciliation with God and a new nature given you. And you throw yourself upon Him and ask Him to have mercy upon you. And when He saved you, you will genuinely love Him. And you'll be so willing to let go your whole heart and life for Him. That's the only time you can say that you know Him, my dear friends. Oh, how I can give you a number of examples, but I want to end there. Dear friends, come, my dear friends. Remember, Satan will let you value some really proper needs in this world more than God. Even when the needs are proper, be careful. They are still never more important than God and your soul and how you need Him. Don't make that mistake. Even if that need is genuine, is proper, is legitimate, still, do you want to become a Christian? Think higher. Say, in spite of all these needs, there is a God who made me and I owe Him my life. Oh, friends, I have to finish. When the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about needs in Matthew chapter 6, there's something that He said before He made the promise. Oh, how I wish I could tell, but my friend, I don't have to do that. In Matthew chapter 6, you know, He will promise about God's care. You know something He said earlier? He said, it's life, not more than food. It's life, not more than clothing. The Lord was teaching us. It is possible, even in the midst of real, genuine, legitimate need, to still say, but life, spiritual life, to know God, to have my sins forgiven me, is it not better than even if I have food to eat? If you are not thinking this way, you will not come to Him. And be careful. Satan would want you to resort to only forms. So that you try to smuggle something into the kingdom of God and ignore God's ways, and then you think that God will still hear me and convert me and change me. He wouldn't, because you'd be tempting him. The way he told you to come, you don't want to come. When he doesn't succeed, he will let you divide up your heart. Now, that's very difficult for us all. When that happens, cry to the Lord. And the Lord will rebuke Satan, as he did unto him.